go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. We're joined by Jim Hansen, my colleague at the Center for Security Policy, where he serves as our executive vice president, a former special operator in the United States Army with experience in counter-warfare and counter-terrorism, expertise he brings to bear with great effect for us now in our special forces in the War of Ideas, as we call it. Jim, welcome back. Good to have you as always.
Pleasure, Frank.
You had some interesting thoughts recently, Jim, about this difficulty we seem to have with what to call the enemy. As a military man, you know the importance of being accurate in both describing and understanding your enemy. What seems to be the difficulty here, and who, interestingly enough, seems to be breaking some new and helpful ground on that?
Yeah, well, I think we've had a problem, and it started back with President Bush trying to do, I guess, following some bad advice and refusing to use the word Islam in relation to the Islamic terrorists we're fighting. And I think he laid some bad groundwork. President Obama has tied himself in knots to avoid using the word, even going so far as to say actively that ISIS is not Islamic. And I mean, unfortunately for him, Al-Azhar University, the foremost authority on those things, disagrees. And they say, no, ISIS actually is Islamic. And they were using in the last Democratic debate, they were using that topic and the idea that the Republican candidates are calling it radical Islam, which is closer, to ask the Democrat candidates what our enemy should be called. And Hillary decided that she was going to break a little bit of new ground, as you said, and call them jihadists. And I think she got some advice and did some polling or something and found out that people thought it was ridiculous to say ISIS is not Islamic. And I think she was trying to say the jihadists and specify only the armed, active, military-like arm of ISIS and al-Qaeda and those guys. The problem is the word has a very specific meaning in all of Islam, and it means waging war to support Islam,
which may or may not be conducted violently. It may be also pursued, as you know so well, Jim, from the work we do at the center, as well as your own work, by sort of pre-violent techniques, as I was talking about with several of our guests earlier in the program, notably under the aegis of the Muslim Brotherhood, which makes this all the more interesting because of Hillary's own involvement with the Muslim Brotherhood, both as a matter of policy and personnel, including her right-hand gal for many, many years, Huma Abedin.
Yeah, I think she just stepped in it, you know, and I applaud her for making that step in the wrong direction, because she's opened up this to, you know, a bit more scrutiny now. Scrutiny, as you mentioned, of Huma, who is still a big member of her campaign and would be obviously probably a member of her cabinet and has deep ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. So that whole idea is, I think, now in play from the Democrat side. And I think we should highlight that and let everybody know that at least the jihadists, both the violent and civilization style, are our enemy, and make everyone stand up and admit that.
Yeah, admit that and take appropriate action. In fact, we were talking earlier with Seb Gorka, Jim Hansen, about the initiative that Senator Ted Cruz has taken in the Senate and Congressman Mario Diaz-Balart in the House to designate the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization. That seems to be long overdue. What kind of practical effect might it have in our own country were that to be enacted into law?
I think the Muslim Brotherhood operates in the U.S. Mostly through a lot of front groups. CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. There are a number of other organizations that they fund, the Muslim Student Associations all across campuses in the United States. They are deeply entrenched, and designating them as a terrorist organization would allow us to stop some of the flow of money. It would allow us to track the flow of money and do some things to slow down their infiltration of our culture and their subversion of it from within. Because right now, not having them designated means they can do that, and we have no recourse. So I think it would be a valuable tool in the fight to stop them on the civilization, the stealth jihad side they're waging against us here in the United States.
Jim Hansen is our guest. He's the executive vice president of the Center for Security Policy and a former Army special operator. Jim, one of the things that you sort of touched on there that I think is really important for all of us to understand is among the efforts that the Obama administration has made involving some considerable contortionism, as you say, is not only denying the actual nature of the enemy, but taking steps that would enable them. And one of those, there's much talk, of course, at the moment about refugees and people coming to this country to pursue jihad, and I share those concerns, as I know you do. But one of the things that has been done by the administration that has not gotten much attention is that they've created this basis to allow people to come into the United States if they've only engaged in limited material support for terrorism. And I just wonder, as a guy who has gone to school on, you know, various threats, what might that allow in terms of this this jihadist enterprise to continue to grow, both internally and from the outside?
You know, I guess there might be some value in a very limited way to say that some people have been coerced, you know, in various places to working with these terrorist organizations. That is hardly the breadth of what the Obama administration has allowed now. What they're basically saying is, if we didn't catch somebody red-handed, you know, strapping a suicide belt on someone, other activities they did, raising money, you know, helping them with funding, with any kind of logistical support, yeah, the other things don't count anymore. And that's absurd. I mean, you don't have it would be like saying that in the United States Army, only the grunt carrying the rifle at the point of the spear is in the military. Everybody else is just providing limited material support. No, that's not the way it works. They're bad guys, they're terrorists, and we need to call them that.
Let me ask you, Jim, in closing very quickly, just to get your thoughts on this incident in Turkey yesterday, in which a Russian Su-24 aircraft was shot down. What do you think happened there, and what do you make of what's happened since?
Well, Frank, it's been portrayed as the Turks shooting down the plane due to a violation of their airspace by Russian jets over a period of time. That may be the rationale they gave. The reason they did it is because the Russians have actually been bombing and killing Turkish, not nationals, but Turkish ethnic folks, the Turkmen in Syria, who've been fighting against Assad. So Russia's there not to kill ISIS or not to do anything else. Russia's there to support their puppet ruler, Assad. And these forces have been fighting against him. The Russians have been killing him. And the Turks gave them an ultimatum and told them to stop last week. The Russians did not stop. And so they took the next chance they could when a Russian jet spent about, I don't know, 15, 20 seconds in their airspace, and they knocked it out of the air to make a point. The problem is Turkey's a NATO ally, and now we're stuck supporting them. It's a bad situation for everybody.
It is a bad situation, and I think, Jim, as I've mentioned in my commentary today, there's a lot of reason to be very, very concerned about the quality of Turkey's alliance status as a member of NATO, and as President Obama likes to say of Erdogan, he's his best friend in the international community. Much more to come on these issues. Jim Hansen, we look forward to talking with you again next week. In the meantime, I hope you have a good Thanksgiving. I'm very thankful for your great work, both that you've done for our country in the past in uniform and that you're rendering today at the Center for Security Policy. And I'm thankful to the rest of you as well for joining us each week. I hope you'll do so again tomorrow. Same time, same station. In the meantime, happy Thanksgiving.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.